Technorama episode 396 for January 15th, 2014. Now legal in Colorado.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history. And now, the news.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
So now that Technorama is legal in Colorado, is there anywhere I can actually listen to it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
You can't listen in your car. You can't listen in public places. You can't listen out in the park. Oh, my goodness. They're making this harder and harder every day.
Yeah, your rights are just being trampled on.
But yet, it's legal. Welcome to Technorama for January 15, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to the show, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig. Are you on that side or are you on that side? I think you're on that side.
I don't know.
How are you, Craig?
It's like a Brady Bunch thing. Just kind of look up and down.
There's only two of us here.
Yes, I'm very good.
And there's like eight.
I'm good, Chuck. I'm good. How about you? How's the winter treating you?
The winter is better now that it's a little warmer. We're not in sub-zero double digits.
Hey, you know what? I know that you got it cold there. Okay, don't get me wrong. I understand that, but it was 10 degrees. You know, it was 10 degrees here the other week.
I have an app. I know where you're going with this. No.
No. The violin?
How come I can't hear it?
Oh, well, I guess.
Oh, I know, because it's on mute.
Oh, there you go. It was 10 degrees here. How cold was it? Yeah. That's funny.
And you had to put on a hat. And a sweater.
And some gloves with fingers.
So that your phone would still work.
That's right. Turn your violin off. Did you not go outside and try to throw boiling water?
No, I did not. Do you know how many people ended up in the hospital for doing that?
That's what I kind of heard.
Yeah.
You know.
When you're throwing hot water up in the air, throw it away from you, not straight up. It will come straight down as hot water.
Did you see the video I sent you? The one I sent you about the having fun in the cold weather?
The sounds of snowshoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on because we've got lots of stuff in this show we've got coming up. Dragons, Peter Mayhew's photographs, and oh boy, we're boned. All that and more coming right up after these messages.
Send up about 38 silver dollar pancakes and about a gallon of syrup, baby. And a fresh TV.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
This is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com. When you listen to Technorama, just about anything can happen.
Hi, this is Tom Dutchick from Immersion Presents. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
On this day in history for January 15, 2014. This is January 15th. It's the 15th day of the year, of course, in the Gregorian calendar. There are 350 days remaining in 2014. I love this time of year because I can still do the math without having to use a calculator.
Yay.
It was on this date in 1759 that the British Museum opens, and
Why did they close at 5 o'clock when I was there?
It's not open 24 hours. And that same date in 1844, University of Notre Dame receives its charter from the state of Indiana.
The Coca-Cola Company, then known as the Pemberton Medicine Company, is incorporated in Atlanta, Georgia today in 1889.
January 15th, 1919, a large molasses tank in Boston, Massachusetts burst and a wave of molasses somewhere. This is like a, cartoon coming up. Rushes through the streets, killing, 21 people and injuring 150 others, known as the Boston Molasses Disaster. It's terrible.
I know. That's how I read it, too. Like, sounds funny, but it really was terrible. It killed 21 people.
Yes.
Today in 1943, the world's largest office building, the Pentagon, is dedicated in Arlington, Virginia.
And the Soviet Union launches its Soyuz 5 on this date 45 years ago.
Wikipedia, a free wiki content encyclopedia, which is where we get this content, turns 13 today. Happy birthday to Wiki.
Give credit where credit is due. And 9 years ago, ESA's Smart One lunar orbiter discovers elements such as calcium, aluminum, silicon, and iron, and other surface elements on the moon.
There are elephants on the moon?
Yes.
Thank goodness. I was beginning to wonder.
They discovered elephants on the moon.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to Russian mathematician Sofia Kovalevskaya, born today in 1850.
And I apologize to this person in advance, but born on this same day in 1895, Finnish chemist and Nobel Prize laureate Aturi Lemari Virtanen. Yes, there you go.
You need to spend some time in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, where there are lots of Finnish people.
I know a Finnish person from the Upper Peninsula, as a matter of fact.
Edward Teller, not the silent part of Penn and Teller. Edward Teller is the father of the hydrogen bomb. He was born today, 1908.
And German-Italian engineer, well, that's a mix. German-Italian engineer John Bugatti was born in January 15th, 1909. He died at the age of 30.
Actor Lloyd Bridges, by this time my lungs were aching for air, would have been 101 today. And finally, cryptographer and author Bruce Schneier turns 51. And don't forget, Friday is Ben Franklin Day, nerdiest of the nerds.
So stick a key in the light socket for, you know, just remember Franklin.
What? Kids, don't try this podcast at home. And that's the way it was on this day in history for 350? Who's editing this stuff?
What?
January 15th.
350.
2014. There's 350 days remaining. I must have been on the wrong line when I typed that in. January 15th, 2014.
Okay, there you go.
Gotta love Google Docs. Fix it as we go.
Hey, you should have seen all the corrections I did spelling-wise.
Well, that's going to be our new Technorama tagline. We'll fix it as we go.
Hey, we'll fix it in our show notes, but forget Wikipedia. We'll go there and fix it.
Wikipedia gives you facts. We give you a story.
They give you facts, and then we fix it.
The National Park Service would call that interpretation.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
All right, we need some news.
Good news, everyone!
There, I didn't walk over it that time. Are you proud?
What? Yeah.
Lyne Rainville of Quebec, Canada may be the ultimate Star Trek fan. Well, that's debatable. She dropped $30,000 into transforming her basement into the Starship Enterprise, a la the original series.
Yeah.
She's even included a multi-level chess set, a food replicator, and, of course, tribbles. Lots of pictures here. I want to know if she made a bridge. See how some of those chairs are facing backwards? What are those, the child seats in the old Pontiac station wagon?
Yeah, because the view screen's behind them.
Her throw pillows have little Starfleet emblems on them. The bathroom has a big Starfleet logo in the tile. How on earth would you have crafted that?
That's the point. That's impressive. It's not on Earth. Well, it's in Canada.
But yet, the turlet looks the same. That doesn't look the same on the space shuttle.
What is it like in the future on the Enterprise? They have the little three shells along beside the toilet.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Three shells.
We talked about that before, I think.
You know why Captain Kirk went to the bathroom on the ceiling, right?
Why?
He wanted to go where no man has gone before. What did Spock find in the captain's toilet? The captain's log. Oh, we got to use these.
Okay, just no. Don't, you know, you don't.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done with that. Actually, you know what? I do like the towel work in the shower. That is kind of nice.
That is nice. And there's even one of those little, jingly hexagonal things that they use.
Mm-hmm. And why has the door got this kind of that diamond shape to it?
It's supposed to look more Vulcan that way. There was a Vulcan influence.
Hmm.
It's not Frank Lloyd Wright, dude. There's a cardboard Spock in the transporter. Apparently, it only works on two-dimensional characters.
And by the way, in the bottom, that bedroom-looking scene with the bed, I keep thinking of seeing, what's his name, Ron Howard's brother inviting you to come drink the Tranya.
Clint Howard?
Clint Howard, that's it.
I was thinking more of Mirror Mirror with the, the sexy captain's mistress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Guess that we have different brain waves going there.
Well, I mean, the curtains is what's throwing me off, because he had kind of the curtains all over the walls.
It's curtains for that one, all right.
Anyway, it's neat. Don't know if I think I would probably, although I love the style of the TOS, but I think I would go for more modern Trek.
Would you? Like Next Generation, or would you go for the J.J. Abrams Trek?
I don't know. I personally like the Enterprise on J.J. Abrams, but probably I'm thinking more like Next Gen type, probably.
It's a lot of lens flares.
I was going to say, the lens flares in the... You couldn't watch TV, man. We got this huge screen. I can't watch it.
Ah, my retinas are burning. Make it stop.
Well, which would you choose? Whoa.
Yes.
What would you choose?
I like the original series.
Do you?
I'm not sure I'd have a say in it. My wife would probably
veto it,
disallow that. I mean, it's enough that I've got the posters in the studio.
I thought she was a Trek fan.
There's fan, and then there's
fan.
Aficionado enthusiast will spend $30,000 on your house. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, well, I could say that about my parents. They're fans. They're Star Trek fans. We watched it from TOS, on through, and they're fans, but they're not going their bedroom.
You're not old enough to have watched TOS. You weren't born then.
No, but I did watch it in reruns.
In syndication, okay.
Yeah, and I did watch the reruns, and I do just like on nights when the $6 Million Man was on, Star Trek was on, I'd ask if we could eat dinner in front of the TV, with the TV tables and the whole works, and watch Star Trek. Well, to me, it was new.
Dinners.
It wasn't that old by then.
I know. All right, look, we got a birthday listener calendar. Listener birthday calendar, even that.
A listener birthday calendar.
A calendar of birthday listeners.
Yeah.
January 15th is Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph.
I broke my Wookiee. That's Ralph that Wiggum as the chief.
January 17th is Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina from Canada. Happy birthday, Frog. Ms. Yay. Frog. And January 21st. First is Michael Rabelais. I think I'm saying that right. It's easier just to say his handle, Stingray 42. Happy birthday to all three of you. And if it's
let me note that Michael is ushering in the age of Aquarius.
He is. Oh, yes. That's right.
It's on the 20th, I think.
Or if you go by the old Hebrew calendar. No, wait. The month of Ziv isn't until March.
Okay.
Hey, it's in my children's Bible that I used today. So
okay.
It was in it. I was born in the month of Nisan.
I was going to say, there's no way you just knew that. Unless.
Well, I was doing research today.
That's what I meant. It's not like, you're Sherlock and you just pull it out of the top of your head.
You never know.
Out of your mind palace.
Craig, you know there's some really strange stuff stored in the way back of this brain.
Oh, yeah. And I've got my own. Comes out I understand.
Weird times. Yeah. Right.
I've got my own.
The Hebrew calendar might be one of them.
Yeah. You know what? I've been on the Sherlock kick lately, so I equate everything to this. But, you know, he had his attic space in his head, or on the show they refer to it as his mind palace, and he would organize his stuff, you know, with certain things like a file cabinet or whatever, and putting things in a certain place. And, you know, I kept thinking mine's more like a junk drawer. Just kind of shove it and keep make sure it closes. Oh, this will fit in here. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Saha Doom is saying we need to do this 60s MIB office style.
That would be cool. Saying, you know what? I could deal in a house with that kind of style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then we could come into the studio every day wearing the Men in Black outfit.
Yeah.
Look, we've got, you know, the Worm Dude and Frank and everybody just kind of hanging around the studio anyway.
Yeah.
They need something to do on Sunday nights.
Sure.
All right. Anyway, happy birthday to all you people. If you want to be on our birthday calendar or Hebrew calendar, go over to our wiki.
Or we could do it like Planet Express.
That would be fun, too.
Yeah.
All right. I need to get... Oh, sorry. Wrong button. It switched right at the last second. Let's try that again.
Hats and stray stories.
But let's not decorate it like Lenny. Hey,
Lenny.
Speaking of hacks and strange stories, look what I got.
The phone bone.
Right side up? You got to get it right side up here.
Wait, did you find the cover? That's not the cover. It was like a blue...
This is the case. Okay. This is the case it comes in. It's a canvas bag with a zipper on it shaped like a dog bone. And I did find the blue Lycra neck cover.
Oh, where was it?
Where was it?
I guess we can talk about that later.
I think it was in my gear bag. I don't know how it got in there, but it did.
Okay.
So, anyway, if you haven't met the Bone Phone, it's an old AM/FM radio from the 80s, a piece of technology, and it has speakers in the neck piece. The idea was you would wear it around your neck, right? And the sound was supposed to transduce into your bones. But it really isn't all that private. It started out as an AM/FM radio. Okay, I'm going to see if I can tune this in and get these speakers sort of close to the microphone so you can hear. So I'm on FM. Here we go.
I can hear it, yeah.
All right, we won't play too much or we'll get licensed. Anyway.
That was my line. Still.
You can wear it. And the sound is actually pretty good, but it's not private. I mean, so headphones were much better.
Mm-hmm.
I could put this under my light jacket or whatever. So, those of you who have been listening for a while know that I've had this crazy idea for at least a decade.
A decade? Yeah.
That I want to have this speaker system tie into any other regular device, like my phone.
Sure.
So, I had my buddy at Karate, who's also more electronic savvy than I said, I want one of these 1/8-inch jacks on it so that I can plug it in. Not a jack, but a plug. I'm sorry. Originally, I thought I wanted a jack. So he went in and found the right things to connect to, soldered it in. So we're listening to Stevie Nicks keep going here. And he put it right in the side. Let me get that up close to the camera. So the Bone Phone is about 2 feet long, a little longer than 2 feet. And he put that right in the side of the housing. So okay, it's got a little bit of straight relief on it.
Did he put a hole in it?
He dremeled out a short hole, a small hole.
Okay.
So now I can plug that in. It doesn't actually override anything. So you got to find either a clear station or flip it over to AM.
That's not how I would have done it. There.
Hey, it's free.
I know. I'm just kidding. Thank you.
So I'll pull up a song. All right. And... We've got Jukebox Hero.
Yeah, Jukebox Hero.
Now, this is great because I have a jacket with a breast pocket that I can put this right in here and I can wear it and everybody's happy. So Thank you, Robert.
Well, wait
Robert
a minute.
Donated the bone phone to this project.
Yes.
Listener Robert.
See, I have a question, though. I have a question.
Yes.
So, about the unit. So, it's, I mean, obviously we can hear it. So, it doesn't really conduct so much as it just plays.
Well, it does actually, it's close to your ears, so the sound is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little bit of resonance in the skeletal structure, but it's not like shaking the bones out of my body.
Now,
I remember it as being a little more...
I think you need to go back in time and play awesome. A little Two Live Crew or something like that, get some bass going.
Well, I thought that bass from Jukebox Hero would have worked. But
yeah.
That's why I picked that song. So, it's done. Yet another harebrained idea from the mind of Chuck Tomasi.
Okay, and I think you need to turn it up a level. Wait a minute. I think you can turn it up a level. It needs Bluetooth.
Turn what up?
Oh. It needs Bluetooth now.
Oh, put like a little Bluetooth. Hey, you know what?
Challenge. Boom.
The gauntlet's been thrown. We need to bring this into the 21st century. So, thank you,
right.
Listener Robert, for donating the bone phone. And thank you, Nate, for wiring in the plug. That's awesome.
And didn't you say you're going to have a video we're going to put on our YouTube channel?
Yes.
Demo
yes,
a
I
bit?
Am. Okay. I meant to do that today, but my camcorder was not charged. And Craig says, well, camcorder? Why didn't you just use your phone? Well, because the phone is what's part of the video, silly boy. How am I going to video this?
You got more than one phone floating around your house.
Well, I'm not going to use my wife's phone. Without asking and put videos on there.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Honey, let me borrow that for a sec.
Yeah.
And I don't want to video her phone as... Anyway, let's move on. We've got another story here about Hacks and Strange Stories. A 7-year-old girl... I've already brought that up because that article renders really slowly. See it in the show notes. Earlier this week, 7-year-old Sophie of Queensland, Australia, asked scientists over at CSIRO to, quote-unquote, make her a dragon. And unfortunately, at first, the response was negative. But lo and behold, things have changed, and a dragon was successfully breeded. That's also in quotes.
I know. I saw that, and I was like, breeded?
At the science agency's additive manufacturing facility in Melbourne. Behold! Toothless in all its splendor and glory. Toothless, 3D printed out of titanium, came into the world at Lab 22, our additive manufacturing facility at Melbourne. The scientists there have printed some extraordinary things in the past. Huge anatomically correct insects, biomedical implants, and aerospace parts. So they thought a dragon was achievable. Quote, being that electron beams were used to 3D print her, we are certainly glad she didn't come out breathing them instead of fire, said Chad Henry, our additive manufacturing operations manager. Titanium is super strong and lightweight, so Toothless will be a very capable flyer. Toothless is currently en route from Lab 22 in Melbourne to Sophie's home in Brisbane. Woo!
That's pretty cool.
That kind of
she can melt it down and use it for medical metal. Titanium.
Originally, she was looking for like the geneticists to, you know, I don't know, crossbreed a frog and a bat or something.
Well, that might work.
But hey, a 3D printed dragon. Now, how?
Hey,
someone's got to model that.
Well, remember this is from. Did you see How to Train Your Dragon?
No.
Okay, this is the dragon Toothless from that movie.
Oh, okay. So that makes
sure
more sense.
I'm sure it wasn't that big of a stretch to get a 3D model of it because they used it from the movie. But what's really cool, though, is it was printed 3D printed out of titanium. That's the part I don't think is really cool.
How do you get titanium inkjet cartridges?
Hey, if you have to ask, you know, no. I don't know. That's what I'm saying is... I know 3D printing
clearly,
is really coming.
I don't belong at the additive manufacturing.
Well, yeah.
Lab
no,
22.
I think that 3D printing is really coming into its own right now. But printing with metal, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah.
And they even gave it, it's got a blue finish, but it's kind of rough and scaly too. So It's not like they had to sand out the layers. It kind of gives it a neat effect.
Hey, you know what's funny is, did you watch the video?
I did not watch the video.
at the end of it, the guy running the 3D printer, he goes, shoo, shoo, shoo. I think he's playing with it.
He's playing with it. Nice.
Yeah, he was all serious looking. All of a sudden, he goes, shoo, shoo. And that was funny.
Cute.
Yeah, that's kind of neat, though. 3D printing is exciting. I wish, I had a 3D printer.
I know somebody who does, and they have some ideas that might be able to help us, but I'm going to keep that as a secret for another time and let you know as things progress, because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag before, well, it's still vaporware. Still in the
still
plan.
Vaporware.
Craig and I will be having a staff meeting later this week to talk it over and find out.
Okay, cool. I'm done with that.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We will be right back with, oh, wow, some ridiculous old cigarette ads, some stuff that Peter Mayhew has put on the web that you really don't want to miss, and more.
Faster at typing than a bullet. More powerful at debugging code than a locomotive. Able to leak tall servers at a single bound. Yes, it's Super Geek. Starring Craig Stepp as the Man of Code, and Chuck Chet as the tenacious reporter, Jimmy Eldap. Make sure you catch the next exciting episode by tuning in to Technorama, a Friends in Tech production.
I want to remind you every week that we do this show live on Google Plus at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30, 6:30 Pacific. I don't remember what time. You figure it out from there. We should just say UTC and deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Google Plus Hangout. You can watch us. You don't need to have a Google Plus Hangout. You don't even need to be on Google. You can watch us at chuckchat.com/webcam. Just set your alarm or watch Facebook. We'll announce it, or Twitter, wherever. And say, hey, we're about to start in 15 minutes. That's all the notice you get.
Yeah. Hurry up. Saddle
and
up,
then
kids.
We post another one saying, you missed it.
Yeah.
So join us there. We've got a chat room going. We've got the webcams going. And in the chat room, we have CES Tomasi. That'd be me. We've got Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer, Gru, Curved Craig. That sounds like you're having some kind of operation, Craig.
Yeah. I'm curved all right.
We got the giant. We got Ultra HD Tim. We've got Wearable Marv. I'm sorry. Okay. Ed Geem comes to mind. Wasn't he the guy who skinned people and wore them? We got Weber, and we got Zahadoom. Well, I'm still in Wisconsin. I think of Wisconsin serial killers. But speaking of serial killers, remember when cigarettes... this last week was the 50th anniversary of the announcement of the Surgeon General's warning that cigarettes may be hazardous to your health. I love that phrasing. Mm-hmm.
Actually, well, you know what? It seems pretty obvious you're breathing smoke.
Well, they kind of knew that because people were getting irritated throat is what they call it. Well, we found a story about 14 absurd... just totally mind-blowing, stupid ads from before we knew cigarettes could kill you.
Yeah, right.
There's Little Katie chewing tobacco. Oh, yummy. We've got Cigarettes de Joy.
There you go. I'm going to throw some of them up, by the way.
They give immediate relief in cases of asthma, cough, bronchitis, hay fever, influenza, and shortness of breath.
My crikey, Fred, it's Ogden's guinea... What?
It's Ogden's guinea gold. And it's got this old dude falling asleep in a chair while a kid's taking a drag.
Looks like Alfalfa from the Little Rascals taking a drag.
It does. 20,679 physicians say Luckies are less irritating. It's toasted. Your throat protection against irritation against cough. What?
Call Philip Morris. Throat tested cigarette. What?
Right. It's got this little bellboy carrying a giant Philip Morris cigarette box.
Yeah, there you go.
For digestion's sake, smoke camels. And then a guy with a fire hose, I guess. Oh, wait, that might be a related article.
Here you go. Yes, 200 times every day, your nose and throat are exposed to irritation. 200 good reasons why you're better off smoking Philip Morris. I think they're kind of telling you the truth there, it sounds like.
Not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking camels. Well, good. I'll smoke a camel, but I won't smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. Ba-doom-tsh. It's better for that camel to smoke than me.
It's nuts, man. It's
nuts. I like the world smoking right there.
Yeah, it looks like a Pac-Man or a Pokeball or something with a cigarette sticking out of it.
Chasing ghosts there all day long is really hard work. So when I get off work, I like to smoke a Marlboro.
The only pipe smoker who does not like it is the one who never tried it. Granger Rough Cut Pipe Tobacco.
There we go.
Don't be angry, Daddy. It's for St. Dunstan's. Smoke St. Dunstan's Virginia cigarettes.
Lucky's less irritating. That's just funny.
It's got mom and dad watching the little boy with this huge cigarette that's about as tall as he is. And it's just crazy. What was this? This was from 1922. I wish they had other dates. Oh, 1930s. Yeah. The Guinean gold was from 1900. Ooh, there's an 1881 ad in here.
By the way, when I go camping, wow. I got an old Marlboro backpack. It's like it's a nice backpack, but it was where you save up the miles that are on the packages, yeah. And you mail them in and you get stuff. And I knew people
kind of like green stamps.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's a nice hiking backpack. Well,
Sorry.
I didn't want to get rid of it, so I had to cut the patch off of it so I could take it for the scouts. Cut the Marlboro patch off.
Come on, kids.
You're in Marlboro country now.
You kids go on without me. I can't hike any further.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing I don't have throat irritation because I'm smoking camels.
Kids, you may have throat irritation 200 times a day, but I forget where I was going.
You inhale 200 times a day. You might have throat irritation. Okay, let's move on to the media corner. Oh, look, a customer.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Where can I smoke a camel? Over here in the media corner.
Over here with Jabba.
Speaking of Jabba, Peter Mayhew, of course, we all know him as the man who played Chewbacca.
That's right.
He has unloaded a plethora of old footage from recording of, I think, all three movies.
Yeah, I've seen elements, I think, because there's some Empire right there. And yeah, some good stuff.
I like the one with the 11-year-old Warwick Davis with the slave Leia.
I know, I looked at it and went, who is that? That is Warwick Davis. Oh my gosh, look how young he
was. I didn't realize he was so young.
Yeah. So, by the way, just for the record, in the show notes, there's actually two links, because one link had some of the similar pictures, but also in addition, it had some other ones. So okay. I just wanted everybody to kind of, scrolled down in Peter Mayhew's Twitter feed, and there was.
That's where, I went to.
He has a lot.
I went to his photos and started just flipping through them. And he's got good captions on there, too. I can't tell you how many times they talked about the cookies on the dark side.
Yeah.
It's got Tarkin talking to Luke, and Vader's got his helmet off. He goes, Luke, I'd like you to meet my friend Vader. He's got cookies. It's just like funny stuff all
through. I like this one picture. He's holding Carrie Fisher in a bottle of champagne or wine or something like that. And it says,
I didn't see that one.
It says a backlot, a bottle of wine, and an ever alluring Carrie Fisher. The rest of the sets, the rest of this set stay in the archive. Happy face. Hey, what's funny is he's holding her and she looks about half his size. It's amazing.
He's got some really rare pictures too. At least I think they're rare because some of the actors and the characters and things wound up on the cutting room floor, like the Glow Man.
Yeah, I had no idea.
From Jabba's lair.
It's like I've never even seen a hint of that somewhere.
Exactly. They were written out of the story entirely. So
I do like seeing Anthony Daniels in half of the C-3PO outfit.
Oh, one of the early attempts at C-3PO where he's wearing like shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like he's headed to the beach.
That's right. There's some pictures of Carrie Fisher in the bikini. And there's Mark Hamill in a flowery robe, which is kind of weird. I don't know where that came from.
It looks more like a what do they call it? A Japanese kimono.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm thinking of.
It's at first I thought, oh, Mark Hamill, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. No, that's not a Hawaiian shirt.
By the way, dude, hey, there's this one picture. Okay, you know the iconic cold outfit that Han wore, you know, on Hoth. Well, yes. There's a snowmobile, at least the windshield part of it, and Han is, or Harrison Ford sitting at the steering wheel in the full thing with the goggle on over his forehead. And it says, work was sparse. We had to pick up jobs wherever we could. At least the shuttle was warm. And he's sitting in there like it says Empire Strikes Back across the top.
Yeah, he's in a snow cat and the bumper sticker across the windshield says Empire Strikes Back.
So yeah.
I like that one. That was good captioning. Again, you got to go check these out. We've got links in the show notes. Or you go over to Peter Mayhew's blog. What is his actual
his
handle?
His Twitter account was...
The Wookiee Roars.
Yeah, at the Wookiee Wars.
But it's the Wookiee, Wookiee.
Again, if you go to the link in the show notes, and you can find the Twitter, the embedded Twitters. But I got two links that has a lot of the pictures in them. So
I don't even know how many there are. I looked for 20 minutes and then I ran out of time. It's almost showtime.
I think he posts pictures a lot, period. And these just happen to fall in the archive kind of thing. By the way, this next article is, you know how every 7 years you can reuse a calendar? I guess every eight, depending
on leap
year. Except
on leap years. There's actually 14 calendars.
Okay.
There's a leap year version and a regular version for every day of the week.
So this year, 2014, you can reuse, what it say? You can reuse 2003, 1997, 86, 75, and 69. And
woohoo! I'm calling my insurance man. I want a new 1975 calendar.
Yeah. So I went, on Facebook, I follow Stan Lee, who doesn't, and he posts.
He was on The Simpsons.
This week?
This week.
Oh, I missed
that. Yes, you must watch. It is outstanding.
Okay.
I'll just say this. The comic book guy gets a girlfriend.
The show must be coming to an end.
I was laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
Out loud, and I was the only one in the room. It was brilliant.
Is that kind of like drinking by yourself, laughing? You're the only one in the room. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, finish your calendar story.
So anyway, Stan Lee posts this thing. I don't know if he actually posted it or somebody, but that has access to his account. But Brett reposted this and said you can reuse this calendar. And the guy that posts this over at Andertunes. Mark Anderson, he posted high resolution scans of a 1975 calendar. He says he unearthed it, thinking his stuff, and he realized he could reuse it. Anyway, it's really cool. I actually have mine set as my desktop at work just for the heck of it. But there's all the every month, and it's got Captain America and Falcon, and there's the Fantastic Four. The Avengers are in there, you know, Luke Cage, all kinds of everything. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you.
Who's that with Captain America in July?
Falcon.
Falcon looks like he could use an update. I don't think they're going to make a movie with that outfit.
Not that outfit, but he is going to be in the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I saw it. Did you see the trailer? If you look at the trailer, he's standing on a bridge.
This outfit has a lot of pink in it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. He's a happy guy. No, in the movie trailer, if you go check it out, he's a black guy just like this, but he jumps off the bridge and opens up and he flies off. So That's him.
All I think of this one is from The Incredibles. Where is my super suit?
Yeah. Actually, there was a, I saw a picture. Somebody posted of a yearbook, and it looked like, I forget the guy's real name, the character's real name in The Incredibles. But it said, what is his quote in the yearbook? It says, where is my super suit? Frozone. That was funny.
All right, before we head out, you got to finally see The Hobbit. Yes, Desolation of Smaug.
I was getting a little worried because it's been, you know, almost a month, you know, and movies starting to drop off and come to DVD pretty quick. Although The Hobbit's got a little staying power.
It's got to get to the 99-cent theater first.
Yes. Well, I was a little concerned, but we ended up seeing it today, which I saw it in a 4K theater, which was kind of nice.
It cost $4,000?
Yes.
To build or to the tickets?
Hey, it was a matinee, so $4,000 is about right.
Okay. That's how much the popcorn
No, 4K
is.
Resolution, which was nice. I was very surprised how well it looked. So I liked it.
A band name.
You know what? I'll tell you.
4K resolution.
I'm not going to ruin anything for anybody. Of course, if you've seen the book, you know what's going to happen. But I think.
I've seen the book. Does that mean I have to read it?
Yes. You've seen the book. You got to read it too. I think this movie brings my worst fear for this movie franchise to light. You know what that is?
Oh, do tell.
Okay. My worst fear is that you remember when they were going to make two films and they stretched it to three?
Yes.
Well, after watching it, I went, you know what? They totally could have just made two films. Because
they could have made one film.
Well, I think they could have gone away with two because... The first one was slow. There's a lot of setup. I'll give you that. But watching this movie, I was like, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of action, a lot of things going on. Have you seen it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed it. The, Bilbo with the dragon, the whole dwarves things. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a lot of, I thought the dragon was very believable the way it looked. And
dragon was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Quit making jokes about it. No, but I thought it was great. But I think they should have just kept it to two movies. They could have done that. Totally. I think it would have worked out pretty good. They, took some liberties, I would say.
Yes.
I mean,
you think
there's
no orcs in the book.
No, there's orcs in the book, but not as much.
No, there's not.
Oh yeah.
There's trolls. There's dwarves. There's elves. There's no orcs. They mention them.
No, they come out of the mountain. They come out of the mountain. When Bilbo gets away from Gollum. But that's it.
Not the orcs.
They're
no.
Oh, goblins? You said they're maybe
the goblins do.
You know, you may be right as far as
after I saw the movie, I went and listened to the audiobook again.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. I honestly, it has been a while since I've read it. But obviously there's no Legolas or Ethereal.
No.
There's no stupid love triangle. I didn't quite get that.
No.
It was stupid.
And they didn't ride in open barrels down the river.
Yep, that's true. They did not. Yep. So anyway, aside from, you know, again, I've mentioned this on the show. When I see different iterations of stories, like, I knew that the book is going to be different from the movie. I'm okay with them changing stuff. So I'm not nitpicking too much. I'm okay with them taking some liberties. I expect it to be different. Because what fun
it's
is
fun.
That?
I mean,
what fun is it if you're seeing
a great job of melding in the new stuff?
Yeah, I don't mind it. And, you know, because what fun is it if you already know the story because you read it and now you're seeing it? I'm okay with them changing
it. That's how Harry Potter's went.
Yeah. Right? I'm okay with it changing it some. So. But yeah, it was a fun movie, but don't go expecting a loyal word for word.
It's not canon.
Hey, you know what?
There are pieces that are word for word. We had a lot of fun just after Christmas. Lisa and I went out to Phoenix and we were watching the first Hobbit movie with Mike Manigay, and then Tim Adamek walked in and Youper was there. Pretty soon we had this MST3K party.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That was fun. That is a great movie to pick on. And it was spontaneity the whole way. Nobody even knew what was coming up.
That's funny.
And yeah, it was a riot. I wish I could remember half of what we said, because if you stopped to laugh.
Wait, y'all weren't recording this?
No.
Hey, by the way, I do have to ask you a question, because I have to ask you a question. Since you just said you re-listened to the book, and I was trying to remember this, and I told Harrison, I wanted to make sure I was right. When the dwarves are imprisoned with the elves,
yes,
aren't they there for like a long time? Not like in the
movie. Yeah, I seem to remember it was
a year or months.
Well, I don't think it was a year.
Or it was like month. Yeah, because
it was at least a week. I'll have to go back and check.
Because the
seasons
changed.
It was like weeks. Did the seasons change?
Well, that was the point of the book. I have a feeling the book took place over a year. So maybe they weren't there for years, but it was like months, a couple months. It was a long time.
There are some time discrepancies in the book. At least I feel there are, because they go, oh, we've got to get to the mountain because tomorrow afternoon is Durin's Day. Like, <Yeah. laughs> you better like get the express flight nonstop.
Yeah, call those Eagles. Call the Eagles back. But anyway, yeah, they're like in the Lord of the Rings, you know, Gandalf was gone for like 60 years, and then he comes back and talks to Frodo. So it's like, you know, I know that it, yeah. But if you watch the movie, if you're not careful, it looks like he just left and came back.
I think a good pre-story would be like Bilbo's ancestry, because he talked about how he inherited sort of that wanderlust from the Took side. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about this already?
I don't know.
I know I mentioned it from somebody. Anyway, you know, do a story about his uncle or his great uncle that used to go wandering off with Gandalf.
Yes.
And go on adventures. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. Let's build some stories there, unless somebody already has and can call me out on that. Then you should call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Yeah, write some fan fiction and send it in.
We'll read it for you.
Sure.
I can do a Smeagol.
Yes, you can.
All right. So you also have a link in the show note to the Desolation of Smaug, Lord of the Rings wiki.
Yes, and that goes along with what I was talking about. They do mention a lot of the differences between the novel and the film.
Okay.
If you want to go look.
Were there any goofs, on-screen goofs we should look for? Is that in there?
No, I don't think that's in here. It just talks about the differences between the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know of any. Actually, I do want to say one thing, and my wife and I were talking about this, was how well they pulled off making the dwarves look small, because they didn't.
Oh, they did a great job.
There was only one,
just like the other movie.
There was only one time that Kim felt like she was. It took away from it just a hair, but it was really a nitpick. And I had the same feeling as when Bard was looking down, and he looked like he was looking over the head of Thorin. Which, you know, if Thorin was a little bit bigger and like closer to us, the viewer, then he would have looked right. But it did. Other than that, I thought they did a great job with the height and everything.
All right. I just checked the time. We're out.
Okay.
But thanks for your movie review. If anybody else wants to get in touch with us, send us an email. Or call listener line. Oh, by the way.
No, we got no.
You the listener will have another opportunity to catch up on your Technorama backlog, because we won't be doing a show in a couple of weeks on January the 26th, which would have been released on the 29th, because I am traveling once again.
Wait a minute. And by the way, I will not be here next weekend.
Oh, you won't?
No, we're going camping, so I won't be here.
All right.
So 2 weeks.
You get 2 weeks to catch up on your Technorama backlog. Mm-hmm. And you know who you are.
You and over there.
Talk to some of you. Stop pointing at the people.
Yeah. You and
they
you.
They can't see pointing on the audio podcast.
Just imagine me pointing at you.
Like Uncle Sam, that finger just follows you all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Called listener line. We actually saw a license plate. I said, Julie, what's that license plate remind you of? And she said, it says EX2428. I said, And what's the number?
It's George Lucas's sequel to THX 1138.
No. I said, that's the last part. I said 206-222. And she goes, oh.
Oh.
You can send us email at technorama@chuckchat.com. Also get in touch with us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. You can find all that information over at, yes, we say it every week, the website.
One day she's going to be out in the world somewhere and need an emergency, have an emergency. And the only way she's going to be able to call you is to call a listener line. Leave a voicemail.
It's about time I do that to her, because she's done that to me so many times as a child. Dad, look at this. I'm like, I've never seen it that way before.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody who came along for the ride tonight on the webcam. Thanks to Mad Marv for the blog content. Thank you, as I mentioned, for downloading and listening.
Oh, the listener. Oh.
Yeah, we thank the listener. It's a nice thing to do. And we thank the people in the Hangout. We thank, anyway. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five, will you? Right at the guitar riff. Wait for it. Wait for it. Here comes now.
101.
Ah, you missed it again.
That was, oh, well, that was my Smog imitation, by the way.
101.
That sounded like your big radio DJ voice. Yes.
101.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right, see you later.